This is Joe Ferrillo, and welcome to the weekly sermon from Amwell Church of the Brethren. We are located at 40 Sandbrook Headquarters Road in Surgeonsville, New Jersey.
Well, this morning, as I said, I'd like to speak to you about a Psalm 33, which in the course of being unveiled speaks to how a nation is blessed and how blessed we are as a country. And this is a very, very strange time. It's not that we haven't lived through a time like this before. This country has been divided on a number of occasions. We recognize in the course of the American Revolution, one-third of the people wanted the revolution, one-third of the people didn't want the revolution, and one-third of the people didn't care. Those numbers are not far askew from where we are today. In the Civil War, the country was divided against itself. And as the Bible says, a house divided against itself cannot stand. And it was torn apart by the Civil War. And here we are today, torn apart again. I lived, and many of you lived, through the 1960s. We thought that would be a big deal. We got through that. But we're living with some of the remnants of that today. And so I thought today would be a great day on Independence Day weekend to be able to share something about our country that puts the light of its goodness to us. There's enough to be said about negatives. And that's all you basically hear a lot of times is negatives. So how about some positive things, and how about some context, and how about the ability to put these things in a context? So I'll begin. When the first European settlers to America stepped off the Mayflower at the dawn of the 17th century, they came with a vision. The vision was to create a country where they could live and work and worship God peacefully and biblically. A particularly harsh winter almost destroyed them and their dreams, but God in his infinite mercy brought them help through, guess who? The very Native Americans with whom they shared their portion of the country at that time. And they survived. The first Thanksgiving was established to give thanks to God for that provision. Despite efforts by many groups to exorcise America's Christian heritage from our history, the truth remains. Many of our country's founding fathers were men of faith anchored in the Bible. Do you know that? I've told you many times, I don't think you're going to get that in the secular colleges, universities, and maybe not even into, you know, grades 1 to 8. But we'll give it to you here. Time magazine, back in May 25th, 1987, over 30 years ago, there was an article called Looking to Its Roots. Quote, ours is the only country deliberately founded on a good idea. That good idea combines a commitment to man's unalienable rights, rights that can't be taken away, with a Calvinist belief in an ultimate moral right and sinful man's obligation to do good. These articles of faith embodied in the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution literally govern our lives today. Again, I don't think you'd get that reading in a university. I believe America has historically been a nation of many blessings, and those blessings have been an outgrowth of her foundation in faith in God. And so I'd like to read along with you, let's stand together. Those of you who are here, yeah, you could stand there at home if you want to, but you'd look kind of silly. But you can do it. We'll read Psalm 33, verses 8 to 12. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. Thank you. You may be seated. Verse 1. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Not perfect. Does it say perfect in that verse? It doesn't say perfect. If the only way you could get God's blessing is by being perfect, none of us would have any of his blessings. This nation is not perfect. And to idealize this country as being perfect is just wrong, because this country, like every institution, including this church, consists of people. And none of us is perfect. If the geometric law that the whole is equal to the sum of its parts is true, if we were perfect, it would be a different matter. Then Jesus wouldn't have had to die for us on the cross. But our imperfection prevails, and it permeates every aspect of who we are. Our sin nature, while conquered by the Holy Spirit, by taken over by the Holy Spirit, by forgiven by our relationship to Jesus Christ as he hung on that cross, doesn't make us perfect. It just makes us Christians. This blessing is not specific to Israel. Any nation who honors the true and living God is blessed. America has been a nation of blessings, so I'd like to share five of those blessings with you this morning. Number one, America has been blessed because she has been a land of freedom and a land of liberty. The very concept of liberty is found in God's word. 2 Corinthians 3:17, the second part of the verse reads, "Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." Liberty. In spite of our many social ills and historical racial inequality, listen, the United States has passed more social legislation and enacted more laws providing individual liberty than any other nation in world history. We know we've got flaws. And in attempt to make and create a more perfect union, we've tried to deal with those flaws. But again, you can't hold the nation responsible for what people do. There are people who do terrible things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen? I can't hear you. Amen. All right, that's honesty. Do terrible things in the name of Jesus Christ. We can't blame Jesus for that. We're responsible for our behavior. Responsible for our actions. And sometimes as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ or citizens of the United States, we go against the basic concepts and the foundational truths. Liberty is an amazing thing. Because of a belief in freedom of speech as enumerated in the Bill of Rights, America has not hidden her scars. America's shortcomings are visible for all the world to see, and those totalitarian regimes where there is no freedom of the press stand in amazement. How would you like to be a citizen of Hong Kong this morning? Anybody? Any volunteers for that? Where the Chinese nation promised it would keep it separate, it's now beginning to swallow it up. People are losing their rights. The press has been silenced and continues to be silenced. We don't live in that environment. Pray to God that we never do. Thomas Jefferson wrote, "The God who gave us life gave us liberty." Liberty is defined as the power to do as one pleases, the power of choice. You pretty much have been able, by the way, we've been able to do what we wanted up until 3 or 4 months ago, right? Look how quickly our liberty can be snatched. Without a gun, with hardly a butterfly's burp in a windstorm, here we have had the liberty of being able to choose what we wanted to do and freely where we wanted to go taken away. Did you ever think it would happen this way? That's how precious our freedom and our liberty are, and that just demonstrates even more the blessing that God has given us. Thomas Jefferson again writes, "Can the liberties of a nation be secured when they, the people, have renounced the conviction that these liberties are a gift from God?" Does our country recognize in the whole that these liberties and our freedom are a gift to us from God? It's estimated that there are about 50 million evangelicals in the United States. What's an evangelical? Well, I have a hard time myself trying to give a definition to that term. I think a lot of them used to be called fundamentalists. I throw myself into that bailiwick, believing in the fundamentals of Scripture. I believe it with all my heart. It's rock bed to me. There's about 50 million of us. If one day we all got up and stood up for Jesus Christ, would we make an impact on this culture? You better believe it. So you and I need to brighten the corner where we are. We need to be ambassadors in Jesus Christ in our homes first, and then as we go out beyond our homes to our community, to our workplace, to the places where we meet other people. Number two, blessing number two. America is blessed by her beauty and natural resources. How many of you have ever driven around the countryside of the United States? Have you driven out west or down south? If you do that, you realize just how beautiful this country is. And I think you will agree with Catherine Lee Bates' assessment. Oh, beautiful, for spacious skies, for amber waves of grain, for purple mountains' majesty, above the fruited plain, America, America, God shed his grace on thee. Think of our wealth in resources, natural gas, oil, ore, timber, water, soil, climate, and precious metals. All of these combined to nourish a civilization that would become the greatest nation that ever existed, whose glow would spread from sea to shining sea. But the inner beauty of America is her willingness to share her vast resources. Who do they call when natural disasters occur around the world? They call America. And we give from America. We give from our plains filled with grains. We give our cattle. We give everything we possibly can to help those who need our help. In times of famine and catastrophe, the world does turn to America. The nation has given even to its enemies. So where does that generosity come from? And I will submit to you within the principles of the Bible. By way of example, here is the law of the gleanings. Listen, Leviticus 19, verses 9 and 10. And when you reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not wholly reap the corners of thy field, neither shalt thou gather the gleanings of thy harvest. Verse 10. And thou shalt not glean thy vineyard, neither shalt thou gather every grape of thy vineyard. Thou shalt leave them for the poor and stranger. Who said it? I am the Lord your God. God's commandment to those people at that time and to us at this time is don't keep it all to yourself. Share a portion of what you have with those who are in need. This is where the whole welfare, quote unquote, state, contributing to people's welfare comes from. It's ingrained in who we are, ingrained in the scriptures, that life is not just about you. It's not just about taking care of ourselves and our own. It's about caring for those who can't care for themselves. The Bible says if a man can work, let him work. But if a man can't work, if he's down, if he's sick, if he's hurt, it's our responsibility to care for those folks until they can get back on their feet. And that's what we know. And that's in the law of gleanings, as old as the Bible. Number three, America is blessed because her laws have a foundation in the Bible. In the Hebrew language in which they were first delivered, the Ten Commandments are called, and you can look up here, Aseret Devarot. The Ten Commandments are called the Ten Words. That's what that means, the Ten Words. The Ten Commandments are the most enduring and universal of all ancient law codes. Virtually all religious belief systems consider the majority of the Ten Commandments as good for the human race. And what's wrong with the Ten Commandments? Can you tell me? Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not perjure, thou shalt not lie, thou shalt not be jealous of your neighbor and whatever it is they had. These are good moral laws, but not to the United States Supreme Court. In 1980, in the decision rendered by the Supreme Court, Stone versus Graham. Six justices of the court ruled that posters of the Ten Commandments be removed from Kentucky public schools. And the majority ruled that the Ten Commandments were unconstitutional. Why? Here's what they wrote. Because if they were to, quote, have any effect at all, it would be to induce the school children to read, meditate upon, perhaps to even venerate, and this is the worst part of all, obey the Ten Commandments. How's it working, folks, when we disregard them? Psalm 19, verse 8. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing their heart. It's good for you. It's therapeutic. The commandments of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. It's good for you to follow God's commands, and it's good for this nation because the whole is equal to the sum of its parts. And when we throw out the Ten Commandments, when we throw out what they mean and what they say, we're hurting the country. And when you have that this sense of fighting against God's law is what leads to anarchy in the streets. If you go against the big guy, everybody else stands in his shadow. And if you can shake your fist at him, well, you can shake your fist at anybody. If you think you can get away with that, and you can think you can get away with anything. Now, when I was a kid, people used to say, well, if you do that, I think I've told you before, I heard it more when I would jump on the back of a bus in Brooklyn. And me and my friends would ride on the back of the bus because it was free, but it was also very dangerous. And I remember one older woman saying, you kids should get off that bus because you can get killed. We didn't. We thought we got away with it. We're not getting away with violating God's word and violating God's law and shaking our fist in his face. If you think we're getting away with that, just look around, go home and turn your television on and watch the news and tell me we're getting away with it. I think we're paying a terrible price that's going to last generations. Fourth, America is blessed because she has been a friend of Israel. It's inconceivable to me that anybody calling themselves a Bible-believing Christian would be an anti-Semite. It is inconceivable to me. I cannot get my arms around it because just about every aspect of our biblical Christian faith has something to do with the Jewish people. Every writer of this book is a Jewish person inspired by the Holy Spirit. And it goes on from there. Psalm 122, verse 6. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper, he says to Israel, that love thee. As the American Revolution dragged on, it wasn't long before our treasury was drained. Without money, we could no longer continue our fight for independence. The question was asked, where are we going to get the money to pay the soldiers and keep this war going? George Washington thought he had the answer. He had many, many Jewish friends of influence. And so he reached out to these Jewish friends. And those Jewish friends reached out to Jews all over the world. And you know what happened? They gave money. They helped save this country. America is blessed in part as long as she is a friend of Israel. That's a promise from the Lord. I will bless them that bless thee. I will curse them that curse thee. There's no advantage for a nation to go against Israel, but so many are. They think they're getting away with it. Number five, America is blessed because she safeguards religious freedom. The greatest freedom we enjoy, and think about it, why do I call it the greatest? I mean, people say, well, you know, free speech and freedom of assembly, well, this is part of that anyway. But the freedom of religion is the most basic thing. What happens when you get it taken from you? How did you feel for nine weeks or 10 weeks or whatever it was? Something was taken from you. Something precious. Something that cannot be substituted for. The greatest freedom we enjoy is the freedom to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and to worship him as we choose. This is what gives us our inner strength, our inner being, our purpose. This is the one that identifies us most closely. This is the freedom that we have to assemble and to follow Jesus Christ. Historically, religious affiliation has been based on one of three practices. Number one, ethnic religion. It depended on where you were born. So if you were Greek, you worshiped the Greek gods, or you were raised Greek Orthodox, or in Italy, Roman Catholic. In India, Indians in India worshiped the gods of India. Number two, religion by way of the clergy and the church. People have no direct access to God. They've got to go through somebody. They had to go through the clergy, through the church, to have a relationship with God. Salvation by church membership or church rites. Number three, state religion. Government-sponsored churches, government-paid clergy. That didn't do too good in Germany. That doesn't do too good under the influence of Islam. The Muslim faith is both sacred and it is secular. They combine the two. They combine being a Muslim with being a citizen of a particular country. And they basically heard Sharia law. We've heard of Sharia law. So you have that combination. Then there's an idea as old as God's grace that came to the mind of the founding fathers. Those three things are what they were used to. The idea of free will. The idea that each individual has the right to choose to believe in God or not. And so with that in the idea encased in their mind, the First Amendment to the Constitution was born. It says, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. Some want to make that more complicated than it really is. And they want to confuse its principle and amend its meaning. Now, this is what we're living with. At its heart, this is what the First Amendment says. Congress shall make no law, one, to force you to attend a Brethren church, or two, to prohibit you from attending a Brethren church. You are free to choose to go where you feel led. Congress can't make any law that says anything otherwise. They did that in Germany. They're doing that in China. They're doing that in other countries. We have the freedom to choose. Don't give it up. Our great presidents knew the importance of individual faith in God and how important it is to the health of the nation. Lincoln said, "The only assurance to our nation's safety is to lay our foundation in morality and religion." Read Christianity. Washington, "It is impossible to rightly govern the world without God and the Bible." They said those things. They documented those words. Your kids will not be taught that in a secular school. It's up to you and your grandchildren. As if to punctuate the importance and prominence that the country placed in the foundation of this nation, atop of the Washington Monument, in the nation's capital, whose metal cap stands 555 feet above the seats of power, above the Congress, above the White House, these words are engraved on that cap: "Praise be to God." He's above us. Why do Jewish men wear a yarmulke? It's symbolic of the fact they believe God is above them. He's higher than they. Why did the founding fathers write, "Praise be to God"? Why did they put so much of God and the Bible in their writings? Why did they invest so much in wanting that foundation of freedom to come through this book and their lives? Because they were preparing to give it all up. They were preparing to give everything they had to be a free people. Everything they had to grant you the freedom that you have. And how many millions have given their life on the soils of foreign countries in order to preserve that freedom and that right. We have some blessings. Perfect? No. Deuteronomy 4, 5, and 6 sum it up. Moses said, "Behold, I have taught you statutes, rules, and judgments, even as who? The Lord my God commanded me that you should do so in the land, whether you go to possess it." God said, wherever it is that you go, there are some things that are yeses and noes. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, "Surely, this great nation is a wise and understanding people." America is good. As long as America is good, she'll be great. Anybody know who said that? Who? Right. De Tocqueville said that when he traveled through the United States. He said, America is great because America is good. But when America stops being good, America will stop being great. We have a lot of self-examination. But in the course of our self-examination about who we are as a people and what part we play in this country as believers, I will tell you, if there was ever a time when Christians had to stand up in love and truth, this is the time. And speak out on behalf of our country, as long as our country does what's right. And when it doesn't do what's right, we should be salt and light to encourage it to do what's right. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Let's pray. So this morning, Father, we give you thanks for the privilege that we have to be your children, to be a family. Thank you, Lord, that you have allowed us to come back this morning. Each week we pray that the number of folks here at the meeting house will grow so that we can continue to fellowship one with another. We thank you, Lord, for your blessings. We thank you for your word. Thank you, Father, for the privilege that I've had to be able to share it. All these things we remember in Jesus' name. Amen.
Audio files, CDs, and notes of our weekly services are available on our website, www.amwell.org, or by calling 609-397-4842 and ask for CDs by the title or by guest speaker. Please don't forget to leave your name, address, and phone number.